We're going to look to the Word of God first before I share some prayer letters with you tonight on this Missionary Prayer Letter Night. And I'm looking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I've been reading ahead, getting ready for future messages, and just was reminded this past Monday as I was going through this passage about how important it is for us to pray for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also for the protection of God's proclaimers. I think it's important for us to realize that not everybody is in a place where they're all friendly and nice. As a matter of fact, many of our missionaries serve in places that are dangerous. And we're constantly reminded of the danger that they are in. Buddy and Lauren posted a video this morning of one of the most poisonous snakes in Peru. I don't know if you saw that. Was on their property. They heard their dog barking loudly. They went out, and it was this 4-foot-long, dangerous snake, and the dogs drove it off into the woods. And they said that they had rather have killed it, not knowing what it's going to do, but they were thankful for the dogs to warn them. Those are dangers that are ever present. We have dangers here. But we need to be praying specifically that the Lord would protect them from those that hate the gospel, for those that are empowered by Satan to try to destroy the work. Brother Jethro Malachow has been talking about the growth of the Boko Haram Muslim group in southern Palawan. Very dangerous group in Africa, but they've made their way into several places, including New Guinea, Indonesia, and into southern Palawan, which is not you have to get there by boat. And because they don't fly, and they come in by boat secretly, and they're dealing with those dangers that are there as they seek to radicalize the Muslims that are already there. And so these are dangers. Notice verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." And you need to underline that. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, desires for these Thessalonian believers to pray for them. Us, plural. That would be Silas and Timothy and others that were with them. "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have course." We have the word "free" supplied in our English Bible. That is not in the original text. But the word "course" there is the idea of free passage, right? The ability to be able to make it through. Let's take the Strait of Hormuz. To desire a free course is to desire a ship to leave and not hit any mines on their way out and be able to make it to their destination. Everybody following me? That's the idea behind this Greek word. It's the idea of being able to make it through a gauntlet. Everybody knows what a gauntlet is. That's where you got dangers on both sides. To make it through the gauntlet, to be able to carry the gospel through that, and be able to further the work of Christ. He said, when you pray for us, pray that God would give us the course through the gauntlet. And he makes it very clear that they're facing adversaries. So he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord would have free course. That as we deliver it, that it would make its way through all the adversaries and all the things that are ever present, and that the word would fall upon the ears of hearers that will hear the word of God. Then he says this, and that the word of the Lord be what? Everybody say it, please. Glorified. Glorified. Interesting word. We use the word glory. And if I were to ask this, if somebody defined glory, we'd have all different answers. What does glory mean? It's one of those words that the actual English word gives the idea of something ethereal, something amazing, something full of light. But the idea here means first and foremost in the imagination. In other words, that God would plant within the souls of people, that the Word of God would come to the forefront, right? That it would be first in their imaginations and not just part of all these other things that I'm doing in life. You know, when we pray for people to be saved, we pray that the Word of God would have free course into their heart, but that it would come to their imagination and be the pinnacle of their thinking. I think every one of us can say that when we came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit before we were saved, that the Word of God just would not go away. It was right there. I memorized a Bible verse, two verses, when I was in the third grade, and they were verses that have stuck with me all through the years. I've used them as my life verses. I also have others that I refer to regularly, but Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves." It's talking about the grace, not the faith, but the grace, right? That's of God. "Not of works, lest any man should" what? "Boast." Those words were in my heart and mind all the time. I had memorized those verses, and to this day, there's something that come to me on a regular basis. If I want to witness to somebody, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 comes to my mind. The first verse, "Ye are dead in trespasses and sin." What does that mean? Does that mean that we cannot repent and we cannot have faith? No, that's not what it means. It means we have nothing in ourselves that merits salvation. We're dead. Right? We're dead. Who brings life? The Holy Spirit of God brings life. Right? If God says repent, and God says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, He's provided everything we need to repent and believe. And they're not works. They are things God has told us to do. So what do we desire? When the Word of God is given, we want it to have free course. We want it to get through all of the adversaries and all the things that come along. You remember Christian and Bunyan's story, Pilgrim's Progress? All right? And how he would fight through the slough of despond and all these things that he faced and the friends that came along that were, they were obstacles and problems. That's the free course we desire for the Word of God to get through all of that and then come right into the mind of the person that we're trying to reach. The Word of God be the imagination of their thinking. Because what is the desire? For them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So are you seeing a pattern here of how we're supposed to pray for our missionaries? It's not just, "Lord, bless the missionaries, provide all their needs, make sure that they can pay their bills, and Lord, we pray that you would give them souls in Jesus' name, amen." We haven't prayed yet. We haven't prayed yet. We haven't wrestled with God over their needs and over the battles that they're facing. Right now, Buddy and Lauren's son is in the hospital recovering from dengue fever. Second round, major round with that. And he also has something else. I forget what that was, but very, very sick. Very, very sick. How many of you agree that this is adversarial issues? Because they're doing it, accomplishing great things for God there. And Satan is throwing all of his stuff. Here's this poor boy that's going through a second bout of dengue, which is horrible. Your eyes bleed. Your abdomen is cramping all the time. And you get no relief. How do we pray for a young man like that? Lord, just pray that you would help Joseph, that he'll get better, feel better tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Have we wrestled with God? No, we haven't. We're just doing, we're ticking it off, checking the box. Okay, I prayed for them, checking the box. We need to get serious about how we pray. God's got the power, but He desires for us to enter in with Him and desire for His will to be accomplished and to enter into the woes as an intercessor, to enter into Joseph's physical issues right now and uphold him before the throne of grace. Isn't that what you desire when you're sick and you're not feeling well and you want people to pray for you? Do you want them to throw up 5-cent prayers? And please don't, I'm not trying to be blasphemous, but I think a lot of times that's just where we live. We're just on the quick and the, yeah, okay, Lord, remember, yeah, I just heard about that. Pray for him. No, that's not really what we're doing. We're just going through the motions. Do you want your car mechanic to go through the motions? No. You want your doctor to go through the motions? I heard this week of someone that was leaving their doctor because the doctor refused to spend any time. They went in there, they were having some issues. They spoke to the doctor. The doctor walked in and said, looked at their chart and said, hey, you're doing okay. You're fine. All right, I'll see you the next appointment. Boom, out the door. Dinner date or something came up. That's not the kind of doctor you want. You want to be able to talk to them, say, I've been having some issues. You want a doctor that is sympathetic, not apathetic. You want a doctor that is concerned about your situation and is going to offer you some information that will be helpful to get through it. That takes a little bit of time, does it not? Now understand, we have no power in and of ourselves. But the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what's the next words there? Availeth much. I didn't say that. God Almighty said that in the book of James. I'm just simple enough to believe what God said about prayer. The effectual. What does that word mean? Does that sound like a flippant word? All right, Lord bless all the missionaries. I remember years ago, and I think it was David Hobbs, I don't know, that prayed for all the missionaries in the cornfields. He would say that. I remember Doris telling us in sixth grade, my brother prayed the other night, bless all the missionaries in the cornfields. Well, he missed foreign fields, and it was cornfields, all right? Now, yeah. Now, please understand something here. Paul wanted these believers to pray for them and specifically pray that the Word of God would be able to go through all the adversarial problems that you always have in this world. But then in the person's mind that you're reaching with the gospel, that their vision would be upon Christ, their imagination would be captured with the Word of God in Christ. That's some serious praying, is it not? That's effectual praying, fervent praying. Let's go on. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. Now, that's a serious prayer request. That we would be delivered from. What does it mean to be delivered from? We use that phrase when we talk about babies being born. The baby was delivered, right? Well, it came from the mother into the hands of the doctor, and we call that a delivery. Is that a pretty serious event? Yeah. It's not like, you know, Amazon driving up. Oh, good, they delivered my package that I ordered yesterday. They're only 5 minutes late. We get all worked up. But this delivered from means to be snatched up and out of the hands of those who are what? Unreasonable and wicked men. Have we prayed for our missionaries like that? It's a challenge to me and to all of us. There are those that would take down a mission. We've had, in the past year, we've lost almost 10 missionaries to either car accidents, attacks, a plane crash. I could go down the list of all the, and they're young people. They're not older people, they're young people that are dying on the mission field. You know how hard it is to get missionaries today? And then we have young ones that are being killed or dying in car accidents. And my mind just wondered, Lord, what is happening here? Well, I believe that whenever you carry the gospel into an area of the world, where there's little light, it's going to stir up trouble. It's going to stir up problems. And by the way, did Satan oppress Job? Yeah, with the permission of God. Yes, he did. And it was horrible oppression. I believe that there's that element. You go to Ephesians 6, and when you see wrestling, that we are to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Powers in the heavenlies. That's serious business. And we need to be praying. For all men have not the faith. This explains why Paul feels the need for prayer. Not everyone is a believer, and some are determined to hinder the work of God. It reflects the reality of a fallen world where opposition to the gospel, now get this, is common. It's common. It seems more and more difficult these days to be able to minister to people and share the gospel with them. I heard just recently of one of my assistant coaches witnessing to another coach. He said, I began to talk to him about the Lord Jesus, and he said, well, he said, I know that this is what Todd and Gospel Projects is all about, but I really don't want to hear about it. Now, this is a man that I've spoken to on two different occasions. Great baseball coach, but he's lost as he can be. And this man was on his team, and I told him at the beginning of the season, I said, you've got a mission as the assistant coach. And I said, it's more than just the kids on that 14U team. The mission is that head coach needs to be saved. And he said, I'll make it my mission. And he's been a faithful witness. Not ugly, not nasty, just presenting Christ. And he said, I got major pushback. He said he didn't want to hear about it. Now, that's opposition. They want to be at Gospel Projects and play ball. They could go to Para. They could go to NEP. They wanted to be here, but they're not really interested in what gospel we share at Gospel Projects. Those are the opposition. So do we quit witnessing when we get pushback? No. Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. And so I want to encourage you tonight in this short challenge that there is opposition to delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to pray seriously for our missionaries. We need to pray for each other that the Word of God would have free passage through the adversity, through the gauntlet, and that in the minds of those that hear the Word of God, it would become part of their imagination. That's when conviction takes place, when they can't think of anything else but Christ and the gospel. The wrestling match takes place. And then to pray for them because they need protection. They need protection from evil men, wicked men, those that are unreasonable. You know, we're dealing more and more with that in the United States, unreasonable people. I told you about Ben Shetler, the son of Jim Shetler. Three men dressed up as soldiers, they weren't. They targeted Ben because he had preached the gospel at that meeting they had in Washington last week. I forget the name of the thing, something 250. But he preached a good, clear gospel message. They targeted him after. They followed him off. He was out in the street. He was going to witness. So a couple of his men, they came up to him. He began to witness to them, and they sat there, and he was thanking them for their service and so forth. And then all three jumped him, started punching him in the face, knocking him to the ground, kicking him. It wasn't because they didn't like white people. All of them were black, by the way. It wasn't because they didn't like what he was preaching. So he ended up in a hospital in Washington, D.C. Finally was able to make it back home. This is real, people.
Did these men end up in jail?
No, they haven't caught any of them yet. They haven't caught it. They did get his phone back. They found it down the street. They'd thrown it over into the thing. They located it through whatever that means is that you can with iPhones. But this is real. Right? Now, it doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. And missionaries face a much higher thing because they don't live in countries like America. So we need to pray for them. I'm going to quickly go through some prayer requests, and then we're going to stop and have time for prayer tonight.